What's up, everybody? Today, we're weighing in on who should host the Oscars after Kevin Hart exits. That and a lot more on Black Hollywood Live's The Trend.
Oh.
Steven, I got to hear your vocals, man. We're competing on who's going to be the next R&B king.
They
Let's
sure
hear you
are.
Sing that.
No, I was going to do my own a cappella.
Cut the track. Right. Now, there you go, okay. Steven. It's all you.
I said cut the track. You make me want to leave the one I'm with. Start a new relationship with you. This is what you do. Think about a ring and all the things that go along with you. You make me.
Okay. All right. We got a new king of R&B up in here at BHL.
Kang!
The king!
No, he ain't a king here. Kang!
Kang with a K-A-N-G. Kang.
The fact that you just got me to do that is amazing.
You came in with him like,
I can't sing.
National Geographic.
I can't sing at
I would
all.
Lie. That's not true. No, you came with it. I can't.
I can rap my ass off.
All right, go ahead.
All right, that's going to be next.
Let's get a little six bars.
Give us something.
No. We can. If you really want that, I'll give it to you in a minute. But
all right.
let's get into the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Live's The Trend. I'm your host, Daryl Kristen. Joining me today is a Ghost of Christmas Past right
Guess
now.
Guess who's back?
DJ
again.
Jesse J is back in the house with us today. Glad to see you, brother.
I'm glad. The remix,
the trend
from this week to the trend.
Right, because we trending now, baby. We got Steven up in here singing.
Where's your singing though?
That's coming. Okay. See,
he's gonna sing a Prince song.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm gonna do a little Usher or something. And speaking of King of R&B, who might be the new King of R&B, joining us today is Stephen Bishop, who's here to talk about his new movie that's coming out December 16th. We are hype about that.
Coins for Christmas. I'm excited.
But before we get into coins for Christmas, we're going to get into some other coins and some other things that have been going on in the news.
Well, I don't know about coins right now, but so there's been this video that has been trending. Actually, a friend of mine, Joshua Public Loyalty, y'all can check him out on Instagram, created this list of the kings of R&B. And on this list, he ranked R. Kelly as number one, Chris Brown, Trey Songz, he put Tank on there, and he said these people were based on these are current kings of R&B. All this stemmed from this new artist, Jacquees, who made a video while he was like at Denny's or something, talking about, I'm the current
king of
R&B. First of all, sir, actually, I'm not going to say it. We're going to let this video say it.
Yes.
Press play.
I just want to let everybody know that I'm the king of R&B right now.
I beg your pardon?
I'm the king of R&B right now.
You are the king of R&B. excuse me. I have a very stupid question. Please, don't be angry. But who exactly are you? But for you to be king of R&B, everybody has to know you. Let me Google you. I don't even know how to Google you because I don't know what name to even put inside.
Wow.
For this generation.
Oh, you are the king of this generation. Okay, please, what generation is that? Are you the only one in that generation all by yourself? Because I'm not understanding.
I understand who done came and who done did that and that and that. But now it's my turn.
That means we should forget R. Kelly, Usher, Trey Songz, Chris Brown, all these people.
I've been feeling like that.
Wow. I mean, if you are saying things like that, I cannot argue with you because it means that clearly the devil has thrown your brain into the lagoon. So there's no point arguing with you. So
not
okay,
your brain into the lagoon.
Oh, you're the king.
I just want to let everybody know that I'm the king.
So Jacquees made this video. It went viral and it created a really dope conversation about R&B. And a lot of the R&B heads was real excited. Now, also some videos came out and they were clowning the whole situation. Some people who I thought were put to bed, aka Jay Holiday, done put a video out himself talking about y'all need to respect and Jacquees need to be out long enough to know what the king of R&B is, as he started saying he was one of them. And then somebody walked up to him in the middle of his video and asked him if he was valet.
Wow.
Sir.
The fact that you posted that video. That's going to leave a mark.
I'm going to put you in.
I have two questions. When does this generation start? Honest question. And do we have video of this man singing?
Jacquees?
Yes.
Jacquees is not horrible. Type in actually Jacquees bed. That's probably his biggest hit.
That's the big hit, yeah.
So the thing is, it's like he's a brand new artist. Like, you haven't even been out for a year.
His single came out in 2016.
No, it's not.
That's when the first single came out, 2016.
Okay, no disrespect intended at all. I'm not a radio listener. I'm still...
Because you're singing your own lyrics like you did at the
beginning. Yeah, exactly.
Of the show.
I sing in the car. I drive in silence and I sing. And I try to increase my range and use my runs and everything like that. Honestly, I don't really listen to radio right now. I listen to my CDs. I got an extensive collection of CDs and I listen to a lot of talk radio. So the fact that I don't know who the man is no slight to him.
I feel that.
But I do have an ear. I have worked in the music business for a long time, so I would like to hear him sing to see if he is justified in saying
what he's
saying.
We're going to give you your whiskey right here.
This is Jacquees Bed. This was his biggest, his first hit. Hey, you be on me when the money thought. Hey, they be looking out for Queen. Hey, they be looking out for Queen. Bitch, bad, no Kanye. When we do it our way. 2015, why you?
Okay. Wait. Mm-hmm. He just said 2015 Wanye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do it my way.
Bro, come on.
Ode to Usher.
Yeah.
Ode to Usher. Wanye.
Right.
Okay. Wanye is a king of vocals.
Absolutely.
There are very few human beings on the earth that can do what Wanye Morris can do.
I agree with you.
Okay. That being said,
you didn't hear it in that.
I did not hear it. There,
you didn't hear it,
but
Chuck
that doesn't mean anything. Version. That doesn't mean that he can't sing. Mm-hmm. It's just that he can't compare himself to Wanye.
No,
that's not a good start. That was good though. Mm-hmm. He's got a good voice. I'll give him that. But he does sound a lot like Chris Brown.
He sounds like several people.
And if you took Usher, Chris Brown, like the 2015 Usher and Chris Brown and mix them together, you'd get this sound.
Good. Yeah. Do we have a clip of a ballad, maybe an a cappella?
Well, to this generation,
that is
a ballad.
The ballad. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
See, I would label him more. I mean, listen, I'm not going to take away his skill. He can sing, you know, mm-hmm. ish, you know. I would give him more like the third cousin of R&B.
I just think you need to be the redheaded stepchild.
The fourth cousin.
Okay, wait. Now we're getting aggressive.
I'm aggressive.
Okay. Listen.
You have
he's
to be
not
for more
terrible.
Than a
don't go
no,
there.
But to say king of R&B,
no,
I'm thinking that, Michael Jackson. I'm thinking, well, that's king
well,
of
pop.
That's pop. But I'm thinking Luther. Well,
if we're talking about king,
but
that's
through,
why I asked, when does the current generation start?
That's what I'm saying.
Because I mean, we're wearing
Babyface. And how many albums do you need to have?
Babyface.
I mean, how many albums do you need to have?
How many songs do you write?
Exactly.
Because the list that I saw, there were a few artists in there, and no shade, because I love me some Trey Songz. I love me some Chris Brown. But, like, I think to be a king, and this is why, I mean, look, I have my own feelings about R. Kelly, but, like, at the end of the day, what R. Kelly did, and then even after everything that happened to R. Kelly, for him to drop the Chocolate Factory and for it to be able to do what it did, and he had certain restrictions when putting that album together because of his case, mm-hmm. and it for it to sell the way that it did... you know what I mean? It cringes me a little bit because then I started really deeply thinking, like, okay, who are we going to call the king? Because R. Kelly right now, I don't think R. Kelly could put an album out like that. Like, I think he's had a little... After that, the girl with the basements and the attic thing, like, I think that
That's what inspires his music. What are you talking about? I mean, mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but he made hits off of doing that for many years.
But,
let's
you know,
just be honest.
King, like, you got to write your stuff.
Here's... If we're talking about King, people that are currently making music, Wanye, I mean, if he's still making music, he's up there. But there is somebody that we haven't mentioned that is making music that should be mentioned in this conversation. That is Daron Jones of 112. Daron Jones vocally is close to Wanye.
I agree with that. I think the problem is also this category. Are they categorizing it as people who have hits currently? You know what I mean? Because does
R.
he have
Kelly
a hit
don't.
Right now?
R. Kelly
you know
doesn't.
What I mean? Chris Brown does.
Chris Brown doesn't right now?
Yeah, but he's had hits.
Trey Songz doesn't right now?
Yeah, you know, that's what you're right.
The Weeknd has, you know, Usher has had the in the last, like, year or two hits.
You're right. You know what? You're right when you say that. It can't. We're not talking about vocal ability. We're talking about
record sales.
And
yeah.
hit music
yeah.
and all that. Okay. Yeah. That being said, The Weeknd has had a lot of really hot stuff. Can we curse on this?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
The Weeknd has had a lot of really hot shit.
I like that he remixed it and went back to the same sentence and just threw
he
his
had
shit.
To put that. He had like, to put that like, on put it
because that's what I wanted shit. To say no, I feel at you. First. But then again, man, I'm kind of out of my depth here, man. I'm not an R&B listener right now.
R&B isn't honestly. There's no real R&B out because here's my thing with The Weeknd. The Weeknd is so auto-tuned to me. And I interviewed Trey Songz a week ago.
You did.
And I said to him, I really wrote down a list. Because I used to love Trey Songz when he first came out. And he dropped that mixtape. Because he was before Drake with the whole sing rap thing. But he was actually sing rapping. He had no auto-tune, nothing. And I said to him, I gave him a list of people I want him to do some songs with. I told him to remix this Anita Baker song with Chris Brown and Ariana Grande. And not remix it, but do a sample to it. And then I said to him, I was like, take the auto-tune off. Like, I'm not afraid to say that. Like, you can sing. And I feel like these people, there's a lot of artists who feel like they need to it because, Lil' Kim, because they feel that a lot of artists...
Shots fired.
I'm not. Right. No, I've purchased every album from these people.
Yeah, you snuck that in real quick.
I do. I say it because it's the one person I always say. It hurts me when I hear someone legendary or that has changed the game of music trying to keep up with today, and it's like no.
Yeah, but it's about record sales,
but
man.
But you ain't selling nothing now.
Yeah, but that's gonna. You're not selling anything. But that's putting them more in a category where they're at least even considered, because if they're doing old school stuff, they're gonna be called. They're not gonna get the same.
It says who? Like what is? When is? I would love to hear the record. Lil' Kim tried to come back with some old school stuff because I haven't heard it. And I have everything she puts out. And same with Trey Songz. Same with Chris Brown. It just, we hear the same sound. And I love The Weeknd. I do. I love listening to a track. But go watch The Weeknd live.
It's not the same.
Sure ain't.
Right.
All right. I know I keep going back to this.
Neo.
Singing ability.
Neo can sing and dance.
Neo can really sing. You know who can really, really sing and use the auto tune forever? T-Pain.
Yep. True.
T-Pain
can T-Pain really sing? Whoa.
What, with the auto-tune? Yes.
No. Without auto-tune.
I've never heard him sing without the auto-tune. Sing.
He can
listen,
really
sing. Just broke some news because I didn't know that.
And he can write it.
He can really sing.
He can write. Fucking hit. He can write. I didn't know he could sing outside of the auto-tune.
He can really sing. Mm-hmm. Okay. He can really sing.
That's good to
know. I actually sat next to him on a plane from, where was I coming from? Maybe Atlanta. I'm not really sure. It was about a year and a half ago.
And he sang the whole way home?
No, he didn't sing. We exchanged rap songs. He had a bunch of rap songs on his computer, and I had a bunch of mine on my computer, and we just went back and forth with rap.
That's actually fucking dope.
But like I said, I've been, I don't know if you guys, okay, I mentioned Duran from 112.
Sure, mm-hmm. I loved 112. I mean, that was my jam.
One of my best friends is Kevin Wales,
okay.
The guy who discovered 112 and put them on Bad Boy and managed them. I was with him throughout the 112 years, the B5 years, and I did some A&R for him. So he's an R&B, I mean, that's his thing. He's a disciple of R&B. So he taught me what to listen for, and he trained my ear so that I could go out and bring things to him.
Yeah.
And he was one of the people that first alerted me to the fact that T-Pain could really, really do it. And then I heard it and was like, wow, why did he do the auto-tune thing? And Kevin said, well, in the time he was coming out, there were several R&B guys, and it was a lane.
You know,
it made him different.
Right.
But it didn't mean that he couldn't do it.
Right.
Like, there are some people that are so overly auto-tuned
mm-hmm.
that you question whether or not they can sing at all.
Right.
But apparently, and from what I hear, I mean, what I hear, well, not from what I hear by word of mouth, but from what I've heard in my ear,
literally.
He can sing.
Okay. All right. I'm for it. I support it.
Who do you guys think is the king of R&B? Let us know in the comments.
Yes.
Because I'd love to hear, you know, we've said our Ushers and Chris Browns and R. Kelly, even though I said I ain't going to say his name no more because of everything.
Babyface,
Maxwell. I mean, the list can go on and on. But who is current right now? Like, who is it right now? You know what I mean? We want to know what you guys think.
All right. Well, you know, and we also mentioned R. Kelly. And so speaking of sex trafficking, wow. So in the news.
Shots fired.
We're going there right now. It's early in the show, man. So, welcome back, Jesse. Welcome back.
You know, I had to do one thing to come back. All right, so in the news, Santonio Brown, I mean, we have seen a lot of celebrities stand up in defense of her to have her released and whatnot, Kim Kardashian, T.I. But right now there is a petition and awareness to kind of respond to the governor of Tennessee, Bill Haslam, excuse me, to give her pardon. Basically, so if you guys don't know the story, in 2004, Santonio Brown was in a relationship with this toxic relationship with this man that she claims was prostituting her, and he would send her out. He would hurt her if she wouldn't make the money for her, and she was one of his most highest paying girls. So he sent her to this house. The man's name was... Damn, I didn't write down. I want to say it's James something, but and either or, he was a 43-year-old man. She sent him to meet up with this man. They met up at a Sonic. He bought her some food. He took her...
Classy.
Wow. Yeah, you know, keeping it cute.
Although their double cheeseburgers at Sonic and their vanilla pineapple shakes are real good, but that's okay. That's a different subject.
Oh, that crushed ice. Yeah. Anyways, so he bought her some Sonic. He took her back to his house where, you know, she was hanging out with him for quite some time, for a few hours. They hung out. He was telling her how he used to be in the military.
This wasn't the guy that she was in the relationship with.
No.
This was
the guy that she was in a relationship with. His name is Cut.
Okay, got it. Go ahead.
K-U-T.
Continue.
Who I would love to know what happened to this man specifically, because either or. So she's hanging out with this guy. He's telling her how he used to be in the military. He starts showing her guns in his house and leaving them out. And she kind of felt a little unnerved, like a little like nervous about like, okay, why are you showing me these guns? Why are you leaving them out? She, from what the prosecutor was saying, is that she had taken a nap at the house. So they were kind of, she said she basically felt uncomfortable. But then the prosecutor was saying, well, you slept at this house. You had no problem using the restroom. You had no problem eating your meal there. And as they were laying in the bed, he went to go reach for something. She felt nervous, so she grabbed one of the guns and shot this man and killed him. And she was sentenced to 51 years in jail. She, at the time, was 16 years old. Now she's 29 years old, so she would be 67 by the time she is out. So there's this petition going around right now to contact Bill Haslam, the governor. He's basically will be out of office come January 2019. But there is this documentation that he could review the that he is technically reviewing the application right now to pardon her. And people are upset about it. Some people are pushing for it. What are you guys' kind of views on this?
Well, when I was reading it, we still don't really have the truth. That's where it's a fine line for me right now with it, because it's
I watched the whole documentary on it, and I'm just like, oh, there's so many things you can feel.
You can definitely feel,
because she was 16,
right?
And he didn't pull anything out from what her story. He didn't attack her. It was how she felt.
That's the part that hit me right when you were talking about it. Wait. He didn't pull anything on her.
Right.
Now, you know, I didn't know the whole backstory when I've been seeing this on social media, and I was under the impression that she was in imminent danger and feared for her life, and it was a self-defense reaction, and
mine too,
initial reaction. I was like, let her out.
Yeah.
It's hard because she's 16. I would say that without seeing a weapon, that was a very big leap to think that he was going to pull a weapon to do harm to her.
Devil's advocate, even though it was known that weapons were in the house.
Yeah, even though.
Okay.
I mean...
In which she had access to one, clearly.
Clearly, it was one close to her on her side of the bed, apparently. But still, he could have been reaching for his phone. He could have been reaching for a drink. He could have been reaching for anything. And her snap judgment caused that to happen. she had been traumatized, so she probably had PTSD, sure. which caused the alarms to go off as soon as he reached.
Sure.
She was 16, so the fact that she was probably tried as an adult in that case is probably a little off. So there's a lot to unpack.
Some
there,
other
man.
Things to add into this story when I watched the documentary. So she... Her mother testified, and when her mother came out, her mother basically came out to say that she also had PTSD. She had bipolar disorder. She had where she had felt when someone – she had been raped in the past, and she had felt the urge to want to harm them as well. So they're saying that mental illness can play into this. I'm right. also saying I've been in an abusive relationship before. I know how hard it is to get out of these situations. And for a girl like this, because she did claim that she wanted to find an escape, mm-hmm. she just couldn't because this she was one of the highest paid girls that this guy was using. And so it was really hard for her to escape. And in my questioning was more like, did you feel in this moment that this could be it?
Right.
You know, all those things went through my mind watching this documentary.
And when you go to that, it's really difficult to quantify how somebody feels,
right? Mm-hmm. Right, because
and what is going through their head in that moment. The judge. I would hate to have been the judge in that case.
I mean, here's the thing, though. I was completely on her side until I heard the things about the mental illness, because that makes me second guess it just a little bit. You know, it's hard because I'm like, if I had a daughter and that was happening to her, I would want her to do the same thing. But on the flip side of that, if there was mental illness, maybe some of this story is fabricated, and I hate saying that because we just don't. That's what I'm saying. We don't really know the truth.
Who knows? And say you have mental illness, and you're put in this situation. I'm just playing all. I literally have thought
what
about this.
What mental illness?
They were saying bipolar disorder, manic depressive.
Okay, yeah, is that mental illness or is that emotional illness?
They qualify it as mental illness.
Do they?
Yeah. I've been friends with somebody, like, and to see them on medication versus off medication, it's two totally different people.
Yeah, same.
Best friend of mine was with that, and I forced her to go into get help, and she wouldn't for the longest time. And when she did, years later, she was like, "Thank you. I put my life in danger. Like, drove a car, wanted to get in a car crash, when we're out of nowhere for no reason." Like, you have these urges and you can't control them, and she can't. And especially if she's put in harm's way, and it's not by this man who she killed, it's by the man who was forcing her to do it.
Yeah.
So it almost is like, well, who do you blame in the situation?
Right. That's where it's the fine line for me. It's really tough for me to know. You know, I think that she should be in prison for that many years? I mean, my instinct is to say no, because I was on her side from the beginning. But
now when
I
you get out,
reading,
what are you going to go to?
That's a whole other.
I've dated an escort before, and not to say everyone's mentality is the same, but does your mind always go back to survival? Because her mentality in that moment was survival.
I mean, I would imagine. Listen, you gotta start over.
I think that all of what you're saying is right, but when it comes to the law,
right,
there is a line, and if it's crossed with the wrong parameters being involved, as sad as it is, mm-hmm. you've just made a mistake.
I agree.
It's going to cost you a lot.
Many years.
Like, if she had seen a weapon, she gets off.
Yeah.
If the guy, did the guy, I mean.
Put a gun to her.
Did the guy, yeah. did the guy.
If they found and him with, if, you know, they, he was, there were guns right next to him that he was reached to.
But even then, you have to, if I'm the prosecutor, I say, well, who's to say that she didn't put the gun in his hand after he was already
too.
Dead?
I mean, that's true.
So,
that's
you know, you have true. To try to logically, you know, go through these weeds and try to find the truth. And there's so many variables that it's virtually impossible to do.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have to go to the strict letter of the law. Were you in imminent danger? Well, you said that he reached for something. Well, that's not good enough. And
he could have reached for a condom.
You know,
Yes, but I'm just
that could have been one of the things.
Anything. He done showed you the gun. I'm sorry, but I'm just saying. When I tell you, I mean, I watched this.
I don't even know where to go.
Look,
there.
No, I mean, I watched so
that's
much.
Not
of this
not what I was going.
I don't think that's
Jesse.
Where Steven was going. And I was feeling you, Steven. I knew it was going to be something like on the next level. You said the comms, he threw me off.
I mean, he could have been going to check his Instagram or something. I mean, and I hate to make light of it, but. But damn, that is a terrible, terrible circumstance, and I feel for her. How about this? How about we compromise and say she's been in there how long?
16 to 29, so okay. I mean over 10 years.
Okay, over 10 years. Let's say we retroactively assess what would have happened if she had been tried as a juvenile, which she was, and give her the time that a juvenile would have gotten.
That's
and,
fair.
And that way we can say, okay, look, you served some time, you paid a debt to society. We're not sure what happened, but we don't, because we're not sure what happened, we don't feel comfortable putting you in jail for 50 some odd years.
Right.
So they're compromised.
Let me ask you guys a question, because I know we got to get on to other subjects, but this is something that sparks this. Do you think that when you are 15, 16, and you make a decision like that, or you... Even if you kill someone, I hate saying that, but if you kill someone at that age, do you think that, you know, you should be, for the rest of your life, always, persecuted for that? Like,
if you killed somebody?
If you were 15, and 15, 16, and you're now 40, do you think that you should, for the rest of your life, you should not ever be able to have a life?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I don't think that, no, because they're... 15, 16-year-old kids' brains aren't fully developed.
Right.
So the neurons that tell the difference between right and wrong, and if from what I have been told and understand about people who are born addicted, they have deficiencies in that area where the neurons don't connect and tell the difference between right and wrong. But just a regular 15-year-old and 16-year-old isn't a fully developed brain yet. They have an extenuating circumstance there. And so once they develop into adulthood, they could realize the error, the drastic error in their ways, and become a completely different person.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's why I'm saying it would be fair for them to retroactively sentence her as a juvenile.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also I want to know what programs was she in? What are the psych tests saying? Like certain things like that. I mean, my friend for most of his college to adulthood was in, you know, federal, and I questioned certain things about him, but he had the understanding of, hey, like I know what I did. I'm going to work my ass off to be, he did what he had to do in federal. But in the aspect of getting out, he made sure that he sticks along certain lines. My question is, because some of the times when I listen to some of her interviews, I'm like, who's telling you this? Because it doesn't sound like it sounds sometimes like it's being fed to her. And that's fine, because obviously if you went into jail at 16 years old, you aren't old enough to even know, like, how do I defend myself? This is what happened. And that's where my sympathy comes into play with her. And that's fine. But then also being put into something like that, into an institution like that, like, you had to do things, and you've had to do things from the age of 16 to 29. You've become a different person. What kind of person have you now become?
Let me ask you this. In veterans, war veterans, with diagnosed PTSD, is that an extenuating circumstance that would get them acquitted for a violent crime?
I don't think it should.
No, is it?
I don't know. I
think it's really honestly case by case, but like...
Has it been argued and won that PTSD is an extenuating circumstance?
It's been argued. I remember there was a case. I don't know what the end result was, but I know it's been argued. That's, once again, it's a fine line. Like, that's...
Because PTSD
can
put her in a place mentally in that
I
moment
agree.
That just... She's not even herself now and just pops off.
Okay, you know? But I've been diagnosed with PTSD from being jumped, stabbed, and thrown on train tracks in New York City. But I'm an adult.
Oh, so you're not going to stab me?
No, I'm not. I'm an adult.
You sure?
I understand that. I did the work. to make sure that I understood what happened to me, why it happened to me, and how I can't react in certain situations. Sure. My reactions weren't violent. My reactions were more internal, and I would just shut down. You know, I did the work to get out of that.
But when you do that work, does PTSD dissipate?
Yes, I believe it does because it has for me.
So it can be cured.
It can be cured.
Cured, yes, or not cured because I still think of it. I still go to it, but I don't react in the same way. I used to cry if I would go into a room of men, all only men. I would cry. I would shut down. I wouldn't know how to speak. This would make me feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, because it was a group of men who did that to me. So for me, you know, I had to go through therapy. I had to talk it out. I had to really understand what happened to me, how this situation is not a harmful situation for me.
Can I say that I apologize for making light of that?
No, boy, I'm the lightest.
No. But seriously, it's a serious thing. And my joke, it was in poor taste. So I apologize for that. I mean, it's a
no,
real
I
thing
hear
that,
you, it, but
that
I don't
you,
care.
That you dealt with. So.
I apologize. He's not offended.
I'm really not. I joke about. I'm a comedian.
Whether you're offended or not, I know that it was the wrong thing to do. You know what I mean? I made light of it, and now hearing about it and seeing how serious you are about it, and you detailing it a little bit, I realize it was insensitive and it was the wrong thing to say. So I apologize.
That's love. We're going to move on to another subject.
Positive note, Issa Rae.
Issa Rae. We're going to move on to something positive. Issa Rae doing things for the sisters.
Here's another thing. I haven't been here in a minute, so you know I got to throw my wrenches. Issa Rae came, her company, so Color Creative, she has just inked a deal with Columbia Pictures to produce projects from diverse screenwriters. Now, it's kind of similar to, I don't know if you guys know Janelle Monáe. She has the Wonderland deal with Universal, just inked last year.
So happy for her.
Now, I support I want more diversity in Hollywood and the world. But I want to bring this story up because this just happened to a friend of mine recently. My friend, she's African-American, went to a Netflix showing. And the way it was pitched to her was, hey, we want you to come to this taping. It is a very diverse cast, a very diverse, you know, all the writers are black, all the the camera.
So I don't mean to cut you off. Is she a writer? Is she an actress? Is she a producer? Who? Your friend.
She's in the entertainment business. She's not on the show.
I'm trying to figure out why they asked her to come to just to.
Oh, she was just at a party that she met somebody. Cool. That's not the story. Okay. The story is this.
Can I ask you one thing before? You said it's a very diverse everybody, but then you said all the writers are black.
This is not diverse. Thank you.
That's all black.
So this is where the reason I bring up this story. So it was pitched to her that it was a very diverse crew. When she got there, everybody was black, and she was confused because she went up to the person who invited her and said, hey, like you said, this
I Googled diverse.
Diverse, and
the
she said, yeah.
The definition of diversity means
a lot of
black
different
people,
types of people. Yeah.
So, but I've noticed that when the word diversity in media, typically nowadays, comes up, it's mostly black and white. And so it was so interesting to me that this topic this was literally 4 to 5 days ago, came up. And that this woman was so excited. She was so excited. She was like, oh, my God. Like, I have never seen this kind of diversity in Hollywood. And then I go back to thinking of how our new the Jacquees generation is out here thinking that diversity is just because it's not white. And to me, diversity is when I come on a set and I see what I walk out into the streets and see. When I see Hispanic, Asian, black, white, everybody working together. Not when I walk in and see an all-white crew.
Right.
Which Variety, the Hollywood Reporter, been checked a few times.
Well, they just had that cover with all the female.
Yeah, and they put Gabrielle Union in there. We covered that.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you had the white girl talking about
it. Right.
I am. Right. Okay, but so, you know, her point to diversity was, I didn't see enough, you know, African Americans in here. Yes, I 100% agree with that. But, you know, diversity stems. I grew up in a Native American reservation. I've grown up hearing about diversity. Most of my friends are African American, so I was like the one white boy, like, well, damn, I hate myself. Like, my people was fucked up, you know? So, do you guys think that... I really don't even know what the question is, to be honest with you.
Well, here's the answer.
Thank you.
That shit wasn't diverse, what we're talking about. Diversity, look, we have to understand there's definitions to words.
And that's Sandra Bland, that's not Issa Rae.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. There are definitions to words. You can't just, you know, what's commandeer words and make them your own and then change the definition. Diversity means... all different types of colors, creeds, sexes, orientations, all that. If there's one of everything, that's diverse.
That's diverse.
If there's, you know, three of five different things, that's diverse. But one demographic, because it's not the main, you know, dominant white mainstream situation doesn't make it diverse. It's got, diverse means a mix of things.
That is coming from a very intelligent person, you. That is very true. But I think there's been such a lack of what, quote-unquote, diverse things in a room. Like, most of the time it's been so white that I think at this point, diversity does equal a little bit of having more black people in the room because we have been... pushed out of those rooms for so many years.
But still have an Asian, Hispanic.
But no, I agree
with you.
You can find
Hispanic and Native American that you would call white.
Other in the room. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the word diversity right now, what it means probably in our society, means a little bit more black because...
Well,
right,
but that's
listen,
a problem.
Here's the thing.
And that's not the
a room full of black people, full of only black people, is no more diverse than a room full of only white people.
And that, yeah...
There is no diversity in either of those.
You are right. You are right by the term of what diversity is. Absolutely.
And
I agree with you.
Words mean things.
No, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Diverse
agree.
Means something specific. Not there's not an abstract definition of diverse.
I
Whoever's
I agree.
Using it like that is wrong. They need to figure out another word to use.
But that's the whole – me bringing that conversation up was because – when she said that, I was like, I mean, I work at the Boys and Girls Club. Like, that is what diverse means. It's a black and white thing, and it's so interesting. I know we're going to talk about the Oscars in a little bit, but Ken, what's his name? Kenyon John, the Asian,
oh, yeah, Kenyon,
Asian
Ken,
from
Jim,
Kenyon
John,
The Hangover. He's being brought up, you know, and they were like, "Well, wait, Kevin Hart was doing it. We need another black man. We need it to be diverse." Oh, wait, guys.
Ken Jeong would be diverse.
Yes, he is diverse. Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
he's
part of diversity of the definition.
He represents
of
he would bring diversity.
What?
He would bring he diversity to the list of hosts that have been involved with the Oscars. He himself would not be diverse.
Right.
He would be Korean.
Right.
But he would bring a certain amount of diversity to the list of hosts.
But but let's be honest. I mean, you know this better than all of us. Hollywood is five steps behind what we're using as definitions. Hollywood has been so white that they're like, hey, we got black folks now. It's diverse because they weren't there before.
But when those black people are put in powerful positions, are they now selecting, saying, you know what, I want a Hispanic woman. I want an Asian person. I want this. Or like this show, they said, well, you know what, we want it to be diverse. We're going to hire all black people. That's where I say, like, if in 2018, white, black, anything, if we're going to move forward, you have to set a new standard. You have to say, look, yes, I understand slavery. I understand what this country has done to this group of people. And I understand what it has done to this group of people and that group of people. And we need to be inclusive. Maybe the word is inclusive that we need to start using versus diversity.
Here's the thing. I just thought about this. There are varying levels of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
A group of 10 people, 5 black, 5 white, is diverse.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not as diverse as 2 black, 2 Asian, 2 Latino, 2 white. That's much more diverse.
Right.
So there are varying degrees of diversity.
Right. No, that's true. So I hate to do this, but we're going to move
on. Because it's going to carry on. It's going
to
carry on.
We have to wrap up soon. I want to get to him and his movie, Coins for Christmas. So I'm just going to throw this out there. The last kind of quick subject, is because it goes into this, is that we know that Kevin Hart is obviously not doing the Oscars anymore. And Whoopi Goldberg, they were asking Whoopi Goldberg, and they were talking to her about, hey, who should do the Oscars? And she mentioned Ken as well as one of the people. She said herself. But who do you guys think should host the Oscars? I think it should be Dave Chappelle. But I know that won't happen.
Stephen Bishop.
I'm down with that. Because I'm going to do his backup singing when he does all the routine.
I mean, really, like, you can sing. You can. You have
you
your
know
smart,
Hollywood.
Like,
I have
you
a little sense of humor.
Key,
I mean,
like,
I can deliver a joke. Man, who do I think should do it? Dave Chappelle would be amazing.
Dave Chappelle.
They
listen, I saw Dave Chappelle a couple months ago with Lauryn Hill at the Hollywood Bowl, and it changed my life. I've seen Dave Chappelle on TV, but to see him and his stand-up, I was like, this is truly the genius that everybody says he is. I think they would think it's too much for the Oscars, because he would go in and destroy and conquer.
But it's what we
didn't
need.
Did Chris Rock host
Chris Rock
the
did
Oscars?
It, and they were upset with Chris Rock.
Yeah.
So imagine what Dave Chappelle's going to come up in there and say.
You know what I mean? They let Dave Chappelle host Saturday Night Live.
They did. And I don't even think he would do it. I don't even think he would do it, actually.
Oh, I believe. Great. You know what that check is? I'm sure he would
do
it.
You know, listen, I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, F the Academy and all that because of what happened with Kevin. And I do agree with Kevin about not having to rehash his apologies. When he said the same energy that was used to find these tweets could have been used to find my apologies for them.
True.
He's already done it. Why should he have to do it again? I agree with that. But it's still a prestigious honor to host the Oscars.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I believe Dave Chappelle would do a great job. And I think that he would take some of the blue out of his routine from stand-up and present it properly.
Right.
He would still have his edge. He would still be Dave. But he wouldn't be Clayton Bigsby, you know what I mean?
He wouldn't be
Tyrone Biggums,
right?
You know?
He
would be Saturday Night
Live.
Saturday Night Live,
yeah, with a little extra little something,
yeah,
in there.
With some jabs,
a little jabs,
a
couple
there,
and
you know,
and there.
They and they'd laugh, and the audience would laugh, and it would. I think Dave Chappelle would be amazing.
Hart, personally, for me, so I would prefer that. Like, I don't care about what your tweets were. I actually agree with the LGBT group that came out to say, well, I wish you didn't step down. I wish you actually went and continued to do it and then used a moment to say, hey.
That would have been good.
I've grown.
That would have been good.
I said those tweets.
That would have been a compromise. You know what I mean? That would have been a compromise. He would have said, okay, listen, I'm not going to apologize now, but in the show, I will do a moment where I acknowledge that that happened. And that I understand the insensitivity of it.
And how you've grown.
And how I've grown.
I can appreciate
from that,
that
moment.
Because
the Oscars has gone through it too. The Oscars is in a growing
Oscars so
white. Oscars, y'all the same. Y'all the same as Kevin Hart.
Yeah, but everybody's sensitive right now, man. You know everybody's sensitive.
No, we sensitive, but if you are raw with it, which is why
just
I think
real,
Dave Chappelle
man.
Would be dope, because I think Dave Chappelle is so raw with his commentary and his jokes. He would be dope, just as Whoopi Goldberg. I think Whoopi is the same way.
You know,
and Ken Jeong. Ken Jeong would have been a slap in the face, though.
I actually think Ken would be great. And I think to open up to an Asian American man, which has never been done, or woman, that would be, to me, right now, that's a good look.
And especially
I mean?
Since Connie is now up for so many awards for the, what's it called? The what movie just came out? Oh, Lord, the Asian movie, excuse me. What is it?
Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes.
Y'all.
Crazy Rich.
Hi,
Asian.
Welcome to Diverse. Not only do we have Oscar so white, Asians, what's good?
Asian, what's good? All right, so these are all great things, but what's
Coins
really important
for Christmas.
Is Coins for Christmas with Stephen Bishop. All right, so tell us all about the movie that comes out December 16th. I'm excited to see it, because I'm all about my Christmas movies, too.
Okay.
And my black ones.
I told him that.
Or diverse, excuse me, diverse Christmas movies.
Right. It stars Essence Atkins and myself. Essence plays a single mother who has had her bank account seized because of the dirty deeds of her ex-husband. So now it's around Christmas time. She's got to put money together to put gifts under the tree for her kids. She gets into the gig economy, you know, driving and coming and cleaning houses and that kind of thing. You know how they have that Tackle app that you can do that. She runs across my character when she's driving. I play a guy named Alec Darby, who's an NFL player coming off a severe injury, who's what I call unbridled arrogance, has no team wanting him, and you know, very little prospects after he has been released from the league. He carries his arrogance into his transition and ends up working with her quite a bit, taking a liking to her. And she helps him come out of that arrogance and into a more humble stance. And he helps her gain self-confidence in herself and be able to walk out into the world, even though all the chips are stacked against her, and go out and succeed. And basically they converge on the middle and forge a friendship. And it's, you know, it's a great, there's a lot of positive messages about self-esteem and humility. And I think it's a good family flick, and I think a lot of people are going
to
like it.
I was going to ask you, what message would you like people to take away after they watch it?
You know, I've said that I would like people to take the message from Essence's arc. You know, there are a lot of people out there walking around with self-esteem issues and insecurities, and, you know, I want everybody that's watching this that has those things going on to understand that you've been given certain gifts by God. Just because they're not the same gifts I've been given or these gentlemen have been given, that doesn't mean that you're not special. It doesn't mean that you're not beautiful. You should embrace the gifts that you do have and walk in the light of that confidence and love yourself. You know, I think that that's the message that I would like to see people take away is embrace what you have and build your self-esteem on that and not on coveting other people's gifts and blessings.
I love that.
Now, okay, so I do VH1's Love and Hip Hop After Show. Check out our podcast on VH1,
definitely
iTunes. And you worked with Carly Red, Miss Carly Red. Mm-hmm. What's her character?
She's
this is a big step for Carly.
She's a guest at one of the parties, the Christmas party that I throw, and she did a good job. You know, we only worked together one scene. And she, you know, she held her own. She did her, you know, she did a job, and I have nothing bad to say about her performance. She was cool on set, so.
All right, shout out to Carly Red doing it.
Since we do have to wrap up, I have two more quick questions for you. What are you most thankful for of this year, 2018?
Right now, I'm most thankful that that this is my king of R&B.
Can we get the close up of that?
Sexual chocolate.
Sexual chocolate right there. That's his king of R&B. Sexual chocolate.
Watson.
That's something to be proud of.
Thanks, you know, thanks courtesy of Ratchet Friday Media is where I got this picture, but that's my king of R&B. No, I'm most thankful for my one-year-old daughter, Charlie. She's amazing. She's made me a better person. She's grounded me even more than I thought I was. And
why?
Just because everything is about her. Everything that I do now is for her future, and you know, it's so amazing to come home and see that little face. No matter what I've been through out those doors, that face melts it away, and you know, if you guys don't have,
I could see the excitement in your face. I mean, you know what I mean? You're glowing with that.
Yeah, she's super smart. I know everybody thinks that you know their kid is the smartest, but you know, she knows sign language.
She's a cutie.
She knows sign language.
She knows sign
at
language.
One?
She knew sign language at like 6 months old. She understands. She does. She does please. She does thank you. She does milk. She does all done. She's now saying words. Obviously, mama, dada. She calls her brother's name. She's been talking to the dogs because we always, you know, one of the dogs' name is Pepper, and since she was a tiny, tiny baby, when she walked by, I'd say hi, Pepper. So now when she was like six months old, I've got video of her going hi, Pepper.
She's all about Pepper,
and it's like, oh my God, she's never said anything, but that rhythm,
you know.
What I mean?
I get it.
So you know, it's she started walking at, you know, 10 and a half months. You know what I mean? So it's an amazing ride, and that is absolutely what I'm most thankful for.
And then we know that you've worked for a while in this industry, done great things. Imposters, Greenleaf, Criminal Minds. I mean, what's 2019 looking for you? Looking out for you?
I've got some things in the can. Keys to the City with Isaiah Washington. Singleholic with Erica Ash. Shout out Erica.
She was here recently. We love Erica.
Yeah, she's great and extremely funny.
Absolutely.
So fearless. She on set, it was amazing to watch her. She was fearless. And I'm in the middle of a, like you said, a recurring guest star arc on Criminal Minds. So hopefully they just got extended, I believe, for more episodes.
I mean, I think they're going to go on and be on TV forever.
Okay, so I've been watching The 100, and since you brought up Isaiah Washington, please hire him. I could just see your character coming in and working for Sky Crew. Okay, so please.
I want that.
No, for real. Like, I could just see you coming in as, like, sergeant, like, just be you and being, like, the fucking it all up. Like, really?
It was such a great experience working with Isaiah as well. He's a consummate professional. Yep. And he was so, you know, generous, you know, with his advice and his praise of my work. It just, we were kindred spirits. I mean, I really, really enjoyed working with him. That was, Keys to the City was a great a great set to be on. We took a lot from it.
And then where can fans find you on social media?
At Stephen C. Bishop, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-C Bishop on Instagram and Twitter, and Stephen Bishop on Facebook.
Boom. Everywhere at DJ Jesse J, there's no I. Thank you.
Okay. You can find me at Dario Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and on my show on the weekend, CBS This Is LA, where I'll be giving you all the tips on the hottest places to go in Los Angeles and Southern California. And check out Coins for Christmas.
Will be.
Premieres December 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sure, check out our boy Stephen Bishop, because he's going to kill it. Once again,
DVR in it,
and you'll probably see his video sometime soon. You may see me and Jesse appearing in the background as his new single that he don't know about yet, that we're gonna be in it.
We're gonna have a real diverse music video.
Exactly.
I'm coming for the crown, Jacquees.
Jacquees, we're coming for you. All right, Coins for Christmas. Check it out. Love y'all.
Bye.
Peace.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
BHL or its owners or principals.